Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Time to go out and about to Rome's Colosseum, where I once persuaded our lover of all things Latin, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, to take me on a guided tour. Let's listen as we potter around there.
The original was like the biggest thing that was left from Roman times. What we see here has half disappeared. The two outer walls you see are broken off right in front of us.
There are three levels of arches right in front of us.
Three walls in and three levels up.
They have columns of the three different orders, the Doric, the Ionic, and the Corinthian up on top. And then there's a fourth level, which we can't actually see except for a little bit from here.
That's the scaffolding. That was added by Titus, like some bleachers up there for standing spectators. Maybe for people just interested in stories, most people don't know where the idea of Colosseum comes from. And right across from us to the left over there, where you see those trees, where the people are sitting there, there's a square that was put up by the Italian archaeologists. Well, that's the basis or the foundation of a colossal statue of Nero.
So that's where the Colosseum got its name.
So the fact is, where the Colosseum is today was an artificial lake inside or around the house, in front of the house of Nero. And he had this massive statue, which was perhaps as tall as the Colosseum is today, built in his honor. And so that stood there for several hundred years. And the emperors used to change the head, but keep the body and just change the head as they came and went. So it was this colossal statue, because you see
Colossal Colosseum.
It was the Colossus of Nero, and therefore what was next to the Colossus of Nero was the Colosseum. But you see the Latin inscription right in front of us, Pius IX there, is Amphitheatrum Flavium, the Flavian Amphitheater. That's the technical name. Because the father and the two sons, Vespasian, Titus, well, Domitian a little later, the dynasty of the three Flavian emperors, are responsible. They're responsible for the Colosseum.
Why did they build it? I know that there are all kinds of legends connected to the Colosseum.
Well, one of the idea, of course, even Julius Caesar had the idea of a Colosseum like this. Augustus had plans for it, but he never finished it. So there were ideas in the Roman mind to have a theater for the people, because there was really no one theater. Under the influence of Hollywood, you have the impression that Nero and all these other guys had games in the Colosseum. Of course, the Colosseum came after Nero. So they had portable theaters, or they used to have gladiatorial matches out in the street in a certain sense.
So all the wild beasts and animals they talk about.
That started with the Colosseum, really. And they said it took 3 months to dedicate this Colosseum. About 3,000 different animals were killed around here. Rhinoceroses, all that other stuff, lions and elephants and stuff from North Africa. That's why North Africa doesn't have any animals today, because the Romans cleared the whole thing out.
But they brought them along in ships.
Oh, yeah, they right in here. For this dedication, we have a famous Latin poet, Martialis, who describes the games used for the celebration, some horrible things. When we go here with the students, I tell them, the Colosseum is a monument to Roman architecture, but it's not a monument to Roman civilization.
And to Christianity?
No, neither. I'll tell you why. Because what went on there was really no credit to anyone. Gory, terrible games.
What happened here was a disgrace.
Well, yeah, because the Romans were very crude, you know. I mean, I love Latin. It's my whole life. I mean, their culture was very crude. The Greeks had, you know, the fine games, you know, the Olympic games, light and races. What the Romans thought was pleasurable or delightful was really a disgrace. I mean, the more blood and the more horror went on, the more the people were delighted. If you read some of the stuff, even Martial's poems about what went on, they thought it was a funny thing. For example, they would have a pregnant pig come out in the middle and kind of drive the pig so crazy that she would give birth out on the... And they thought, the Romans thought, this was a sign of fertility and a sign of the the grace of the gods. And of course, you know, the different animals and some of them, so they said at one point that the elephants would kneel down in front of the emperor almost like crying, because they kind of knew what was happening to them and they were being tormented by these things, these gladiators and the picadores, you'd have to do something, the bullfights today, got it? And they would train the elephants, and sometime, and it was a terrible thing, on one occasion the people stood up and booed the emperor because the elephants started crying. I mean, the whole thing that went on here was really kind of awful. It goes against everything we think is kind of decent today, except maybe wrestling or something like that.
It goes against everything Christian.
Well, yeah, yes, and every kind of decency today. I mean, what they thought was funny and pleasurable was just terrible. It was horrible, that's all. See, the place is beautiful, but what went on is bad.
Father, I can see there's a cross just opposite here. Why is there a cross on what could be a pagan amphitheater?
Well, yeah, I can see the Latin inscription here says, this is Pius IX, a very nice thing in 1852. Yeah, that's right. He says, this amphitheater dedicated to the gods by impious religion, and he says, and reborn from this bad superstition by the blood of the martyrs. And so the idea was with the Christians, they still thought that there were these masses of Christian martyrs here who reconsecrated the Colosseum to the true God after it had been used for false gods for so many centuries. So that's written all in Latin. If people understand Latin, you're going to understand. I can read this from here. In the fourth line it says it was reborn by the blood of the martyrs. So kind of transferred. So the Christians came along and said, okay, this is our place now.
Is that why the Pope today leads the Stations of the Cross on Good Friday
one
here?
One of the reasons. You have to understand also that until the Italians took over things in the 1890s, 1900 here, you had a whole city inside here. St. Philip Neri started Stations of the Cross in the Colosseum. There were two churches, two chapels in the Colosseum dedicated to the martyrs. All that stuff was torn out. So way before this present Pope came around, the Colosseum had churches and had the Way of the Cross inside.
Actually had churches inside.
Well, there were two chapels on both sides. That was all demolished. Who's another famous? La Labore. He, like the poor man who lived in Rome here, he lived inside here.
The Frenchman.
Yes, exactly. And so, as I say, Philip Neri set up a Station of the Cross inside. So this goes way back to the 1500s, the tradition of the Station of the Cross in the Colosseum. You know, the
it was very helpful to pilgrims.
Oh, yes, the famous man, and with the poor and everything else, he was a pastor, you know, at St. John of the Florentines, right at the bridge there that goes over to the tunnel to the Vatican. He was the pastor over there for about 12, 13 years, and was really an outstanding man as the shepherd of people. And so he started all kinds of things here.
Hospices for the pilgrims.
Yes, exactly, at a hospice in Trastevere, Philip Neri. And then he moved over to the oratory, Santa Maria Nuova, Chiesa Nuova today. And anyway, and so he started all these different devotions and everything else. A very interesting man.
And heartfelt thanks there to our popular Latin lover, Carmelite, Father Reginald Foster, for taking us on this exclusive tour of the Colosseum. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.